Blog Talk Radio.
We're going to read segments of articles here because, unfortunately...
Why don't you go to Ross Story and you get some articles?
I can't go to anything. It's not going anywhere. That's the problem. It goes to two places and, you know, you have to shut down in order to go to these other things and it's a nightmare. So, school hospitals. This is one. Oh, it sounds great. 2 million set to join biggest strike in generation. Schools... Hospitals, courts, transport were hit by the biggest strike in decades. Today's teachers, nurses, and civil servants join their weather forecasters, botanists, and nuclear physicists on picket lines. And this is in England. And unions say early indications were that the walkout was being solidly supported and predicted that November 30th would go down in history as the biggest day of industrial action since the 1979.
Well, what they're striking against, this isn't telling you, is the huge austerity programs
sure.
that have been put into place in England because England is carrying Europe.
Well, England really isn't carrying
Europe. Well, they're getting ready to do that to pay their percentage,
right?
Which is a lot for a small island.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And Germany is supposed to be pumping in some big money too, but it doesn't look like it's going to be happening. And but in the meantime, the people are hurting pretty badly down there.
10 things Newt Gingrich doesn't want you to know about him.
Right.
Today, former Republican House Speaker Newt Gingrich announced that he is taking steps to consider becoming the GOP nominee for president in 2012. As Gingrich begins the long process of possibly running for president, he is likely to take every effort to mold his image to make himself palatable to the American voters. Yet the public deserves to know every important detail about the history of the man who may seek to be their leader. Well, he is seeking to be their leader. Think Progress has assembled a list of 10 things Gingrich probably doesn't want you to know about him. See if you can get to that.
Okay. This is, let's hope we can get some speed here. You can check this out on thinkprogress.org. not going to speed anything up.
How do you know?
Because you're adding another one, and you're going to add another
computer
to the
network.
Well, we
won't do yours if yours isn't...
Well, yeah, yours is not going to be that fast, trust me. And you don't have a microphone, and it's not a... Right. This is painfully, painfully slow. And What?
Just go to the next one while
I can't because you're in the way. That there's a problem there. Okay, we're getting rid of that. So, hopefully one of these will come up. There was a very interesting interview, which I could play, with Greg Palast. It's rather long. But
we'll play that.
He gets into some his latest book, which is called Vulture's Culture, I think it's called.
Haven't heard from him in a long time.
Yeah, and... But he's on this other radio show, and Blood Bite. Let's see. It worked before. So hopefully it'll work again. We can get this. BBC investigative reporter Greg Palast, like you have never heard him. His newest bestseller, Vulture's Picnic, Greg and Jack Hitt, Obusha, BP, Romney, Puppet Master Unveiled, Secret Submarines, the Phony Rent-a-Green Movement, Carbon Credits, Occupy Reality Biz, Naked Spies, and Greg tells firsthand Charles Bukowski story, as yet to be told.
And a must-share file for all who want the real dope on the elite 1%.
So we're going to go to that here in just 1 second, as soon as I kick it in. All right. I have to say that the beginning of this is a little rowdy here, but let's kind of see if we can get it on going.
You won't like expect that a bit, and the financial vultures who are eating us alive. You know what my readers, my listeners are going to love is the fact that you have a Bukowski quote starting off your book.
Yeah, there's always an excuse to be a prick.
Now, was that a confession or an accusation or both?
Well, yeah, kind of both, you know. And in the book, one of the things I do, I'm not too kind to myself. I just decided to take you for the first time on the investigations. If you read my prior books, you know, nice bestsellers, Best Democracy Money Can Buy, Our Madhouse, they told you what I found. You know, like Catherine Harris fixed the election by calling black folks felons, you know, voting. Of course, they were black. You know, the inside documents from the IMF. Or the real shit on Pinochet and the, you know, so we got the real stuff. And, of course, I got the secret documents, if you remember, in Our Madhouse, secret plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which I got from BBC TV. Now, this time, I take you with me, and that's really important, because sometimes I really, really screw up, and I think that's important for people.
Hey, that this tape is being buffered.
People to know too. I lose the James Bond award about once a week when I'm going after the bad guys. But you will see something you don't see in America, which is real, old-fashioned.
This is unlistenable. I apologize.
Gumshoe detective work, investigative reporting. It's just, you know, it's just. Not allowed. I mean, it starts out where I'm doing a stakeout of a
This is not listenable, and I apologize very much for it. I hope you can go to Jack Blood, Deadline Live. Okay, this today's check. I apologize. My computer is not working properly.
It's got a virus.
Okay, maybe it's got a virus, though. Let's see. How Iran can collapse all of Bilderberg banks and government. All the Iranians have to do is to announce the purchase of $10 billion in silver and $10 billion in gold over the next 90 days. If the Iranians wanted to have fun, they could say they absolutely need to buy gold because Russia and China will have to publish a gold-backed currency after all of the currencies collapse. They will begin by backing the ruble and yuan and gold and fix it with gold and fixing their exchange rates. We do not want to be excluded from the world trade. After the dollar, the euro, and the pound collapse, we will want to fix our currency to the Russian ruble and the Chinese yuan. If Americans want to import oil or anything else from overseas, all they will have to do is to buy gold at $2,000, $3,000, or $5,000 an ounce before with their purchases. And that's what can actually happen if Iran decides to purchase gold. You know, because there's so little gold actually in the world, and if they want it in bullion, it's going to cause problems. Still having problems trying to connect to these articles. I apologize. Here's another short one. ClimateGate 2.0. Lawson squishes Hume. Have you noticed that whenever our beloved energy and climate change secretary Chris Hume, this is, of course, England, speaks, his lips never move, only his butt cheeks. It was the same again on BBC Question Time last night. But Hume, this is just errant nonsense. You kept wanting to scream at the TV, and either you know it's nonsense, in which case you're a liar, or you don't know it's not nonsense, in which case you're more incredibly stupid, more badly informed, more ill-advised than any minister of the crown has any decency to be. Anyway, now he's been called on by two heavyweights, ex-Chancellor Lord Lawson and former Cabinet Secretary Lord Turnbull, writing under the auspices of the increasingly feisty and effective Global Warming Policy Foundation. Here is their smackdown, and it's so brutal in the politest, most restrained political diplomatic way, of course, that it deserves printing in full. And man, I hope I can. I hope this one comes up, but folks, I have not had any luck tonight with this. So. Yours obviously isn't moving too fast either.
No. What are you? Are you on? Did you go to Yahoo to get into yours?
Yeah. I'm
maybe the problem is.
No, it's not Yahoo. Actually, I went straight to my bookmarks.
Well, the
get my stuff.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Is it off Yahoo or is it off Google?
It's probably Yahoo because I don't.
It's probably off Internet Explorer. This is off.
That's what I do. Which is why the problem is so large. This one, I just can't. I can't get up any articles. Very sorry, folks.
I'll see what happens with this video. I'll just leave it on there and see if it'll come up.
Okay. All right.
And if it comes up, we'll read it.
Brief notice that in modern America, questioning war is considered terrorism. Of course, anti-war protesters shouldn't take it too personally since they are in good company. According to Department of Defense training manuals, protest is considered low-level terrorism.
How about that?
Yeah. The government is also using anti-terrorism laws
to keep people from learning what pollutants are in their own community. Claims of national security are also used to keep basic financial information, such as who got bailout money, secret. That might not bode for particularly warm and friendly treatment for someone persistently demanding the release of such information. The state of Missouri tried to label as terrorists current Congressman Ron Paul and his supporters, from former Congressman Bob Barr, libertarians in general, and anyone who holds gold and a host of other people, probably as terrorists. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. They're holding anybody, I guess, can be held as terrorists. That's it, though.
Yeah. Don't question the government.
In any way. And then they just passed this bill.
They passed two bills recently.
To allow unreasonable.
So this one came up.
Yeah.
According to the Department of Justice.
I just read that.
Okay.
The FBI gave inaccurate information to Congress and the public when it claimed a possible terrorism link to justify surveilling an anti-war rally in Pittsburgh. The Justice Department Inspector General said Monday in a report on the Bureau of Scrutiny of Domestic Inspector General Glenn Fine said the FBI had no reason to expect that anyone of interest in a terrorism investigation would be present at the 2002 event sponsored by Thomas Merton Center. A nonviolent anti-war and anti-discrimination group. The surveillance was an ill-conceived project on a slow work day, the IG stated in a study of several FBI domestic terrorism probes of people affiliated with organizations such as Greenpeace and the Catholic Worker. Earlier in statements to Congress and in a peace release, the FBI had described the surveillance as related to a terrorism investigation. Good.
The FBI has a broad definition that enables it to classify matters as domestic terrorism that actually are trespassing or vandalism, the inspector general said. Regarding the Pittsburgh rally, controversy erupted in 2006 over whether the FBI had spied on protesters at the event several years earlier because of their anti-war views. Promoters of peace in Maryland, Minneapolis, Chicago, and elsewhere were also considered potential terrorists.
As was an individual Quaker peace activist.
The Inspector General's report confirmed that at least in some instances, anti-war views were specifically targeted. The report concluded that while the FBI probes were not generally predicted simply on the views of the targets, at least one FBI field office was focused on a group as a result of its anti-war views. It also found that FBI agents and supervisors sometimes provide the Office of the Inspector General with speculative, after-the-fact rationalizations for their prior decisions to open investigations that we did not find persuasive. In addition, anti-war websites like antiwar.com are listed on various terrorist watch lists. See number 16 here and number 37 here. Anti-war sins, it's according to the watch list. An unusual site, essentially an isolationist right-wing libertarian site, consciously designed to appeal to anti-war activists from the left as well. The irony, of course, is America wants to put a stop to perpetual warfare. Ron Paul is gaining popularity because he is against the never-ending war on terror and wants to bring the troops home. Americans are sick of the never-ending, ever-creeping war. See this, this, and this, as Talking Points memos reported earlier this month. Only about a quarter say that wars in Iraq, 26%, and Afghanistan, 25%, have lessened the chance of its of terrorist attacks in the U.S., the Pew report reads. In both cases, majorities say the wars either have increased the risk of terrorism in the country or made no difference. Top American military leaders agree, saying that the war on terror has weakened our national security, and it was planned before 9/11 and has little to do with terrorism. And a CBS News poll from November 11th found 3/4 of Americans support U.S. withdrawal from Iraq. 2/3 of Americans believe the Iraq war was not worth fighting. 1/2 of Americans oppose U.S. involvement in Libya. More than 1/2 of Americans want to end the war in Afghanistan. 70% of Americans do not support military intervention to change dictatorships into democracies. 55% of Americans say Iran can be contained via diplomacy. Only 15% of Americans support a military intervention in Iran. And Nobel Prize-winning economists say war is destroying our economy. Top American military and intelligence leaders, economists, and the majority of the Americans, by this logic, must be terrorists. Nazi leader Hermann Göring's famous statement is relevant to this issue. This is what he says. Why, of course, the people don't want war. But after all, it is the leaders of the country who determine the policy. It is always a simple matter to drag the people along, whether it's a democracy or a fascist dictatorship or a parliament or a communist dictatorship, voice or known voice. The people can always be brought to do the bidding of the leaders. That is easy. All you have to do is tell them they are being attacked and denounce the pacifists for lack of patriotism and exposing the country to danger. It works the same in any country. Is everyone who criticizes the government a terrorist? Of course, anti-war protesters shouldn't take it too personally since they are in good company. According to the Department of Defense training manuals, protest is considered low-level terrorism. And see this and this. The government is also using anti-terrorism laws to keep people from learning what pollutants are in their own country. See this, this, and this, and this. Claims of
these are different articles are hyperlinked. So
we could go to those if you want. I don't know if we'll get there. Claims of national security are also used to keep basic financial information such as, we read that, who got the bailout money. Okay, let's see, the state of Missouri, we read that. According to a law professor, pursuant to the Military Commissions Act, anyone who speaks out against the government's policies could be declared an unlawful enemy combatant and imprisoned indefinitely. That includes American citizens. Government apologists are also eager to label anyone taking a cynical stance toward politics, mistrusting authority, endorsing democratic practices, and displaying an inquisitive, imaginative outlook as worthy of a Stalinist trip to the insane asylum.
Amazing.
Yeah.
We're screwed.
No.
We're so screwed. We are so screwed, folks.
This
is so screwed. Poor Richard's blog I came off of. Check that out. There's something else that I was hoping we can. This will pop up. I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
This is George Orwell's Guide to the News.
Yeah, he's got four that we can. Hopefully, this will come up.
Can you get onto Facebook?
It's not on Facebook. I couldn't even get on Facebook tonight. Must be tons of people on because I...
No, we had trouble last night, and John had no trouble with his one.
Yeah,
so.
This is too bad. This is a great article, too, and I just can't bring it up. But let me talk about it briefly. George Orwell's Guide to the News.
Here's the first four steps, anyway.
Yeah,
or
the seven-step mainstream media country destruction guide. All right. Unfortunately, there's only four here, and I can't get to the other three. First, they start by targeting a country ripe for a regime change and brand it a rogue state. Then, they arm, train, finance local terrorist groups through CIA, MI6, and Mossad, Al-Qaeda, a CIA operation, drug cartels, often CIA operations, and call them freedom fighters. Then, as muck, UN Security Council resolutions are staged that rain death and destruction upon millions of civilians, they call it UN sanctions to protect civilians. Then, the fourth fourth guide is they spread flagrant lies through their newsrooms and paid journals and call it the international community's concern expressed by prestigious spokespeople and analysts. So, yeah. So, I mean, we're having that. I mean, that's what we have. That's what we get. That's what we're getting. And it's really a sickening situation. And unfortunately, I can't believe how crippled I am without this. Can't get anything. All right. GMO crop continually banned around the world in display of health freedom. Colorado Boulder County was the latest health freedom hotspot to stand up against Monsanto and genetically engineered modified produce, with Boulder County advisory committees announcing plans to phase out GMO crops on open space in pursuit of sustainable and ethical farming practices. The county joins a long list of other political bodies that have banned, condemned, and even uprooted GMO crops across the globe. Both the Food and Agricultural Policies Council and the Parks and Open Space Advisory Committee of Boulder Country voted 5-4 to phase out GMOs in an economically viable way. And the transitions prove that it is possible to be environmentally conscious, preserve the health of citizens, and still maintain economic stability. So, God willing, they can get rid of these GMOs in Colorado.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah, man. And I'm hoping I can get up more, but... Oh, you got that one. Maybe you got that. I don't know, I might have it. Yeah.
The news, resorting to euphemisms, half-truths, and lies in the best, worst style of George Orwell's novel 1984. We live in the unreeled world of newspeak used by the global power elite to control our minds. Man gets confused when things that happen around him and to him, of which are done in his name, cannot be properly grasped, understood, or made sense of. Normally, such confusion leads to inaction. If you're lost at night in the middle of the forest, but you can still see the stars, then a bit of astronomical knowledge will at least quickly tell you which way is north. But if it's cloudy or you're ignorant of the constellations in starry heaven, then you might as well light up a fire and do nothing until dawn. You're lost. Today, mainstream media coverage uses program distortion, confusion, and outright lying when its money, power, masters order it to support the official story or a major political, economic, or financial process. When looked at closely, however, the official story of things can seem to be inaccurate, misleading, often hardly believable, if not downright stupid. Examples of Iraq's non-existent, WMDs leading to the invasion and destruction of that country, global megabank of bailouts with taxpayer money, irrational U.S. diplomatic, military, financial, and ideological alignment to Israeli objectives. We kill Osama bin Laden and dumped his body in the sea, and the wide array of whodunits surrounding 9/11 in New York and Washington, 7/7 in London, the AMIA Israeli embassy attacks in Buenos Aires in 1992 and 94, and of course, that all-time favorite, who shot JFK? These are but a few of the pragmatic cases that have at least served to trigger millions of people to wake up and think with their own minds instead of the mainstream media. But unfortunately, the vast majority of such cases are not so clear. The vast majority of newspeak lies are like knots, difficult to untie, as they carry built-in complexities resembling Gordian knots. And as with all Gordian knots, you need to cut right through them. And this requires swift, precise action, plus a good measure of intellectual courage. To give an example of what we say, let's take a quick look at how a newspeak operation works. It requires sequential planning. It requires time. It requires proper logistics. It requires credible spokespeople in public and private sectors. It requires choosing the right words and images at the right time in the right circumstances. So let's say the global power elite, working through the government of the U.S., U.K., and the EU, into which they are deeply embedded, and joint venturing with a wide array of media outlets, defense companies, oil companies, security and construction companies, and powerful lobbies, decide that they wish to overrun and destroy a specific country, Libya, for example. How do they ensure that the international community will just quietly look on, except for the still relatively small minority of voices that are increasingly raising hell against them? The seven-step mainstream media country destruction guide. First, they start by targeting the country for regime and brand it a rogue state. Then they arm, train, and finance local terrorist groups through CIA, MI6, Mossad, Al-Qaeda, a CIA operation, drug cartels, and often the freedom, and then call them freedom fighters. Then, as a mock UN Security Council resolutions are staged that rain death and destruction upon millions of civilians, they call it UN sanctions to protect civilians. Then, they spread flagrant lies. You want to read this?
Yeah, they spread flagrant lies through their newsrooms and paid journalists and calling international communities concern expressed by prestigious spokesmen and analysts. Then, number five, the bomb invade.
They bomb invade
and begin to control the target country and call it liberation. Then number six, as the target country falls fully under their control, they impose the kind of democracy that they want to see. As Hillary Clinton before visiting Egypt and Tunisia on March 10, 2011, until finally. Number seven, they steal appetizing oil, mineral, and agricultural reserves, handing them over to global power elite corporations, and impose unnecessary private banking debt and call it foreign investment and reconstruction. And then their keynotes are force and hypocrisy, which they have used time and again to destroy entire countries, always in the name of freedom, democracy, peace, and human rights. And utmost force and violence is used to achieve their ends and goals. Their elders recommended this many decades ago in Blueprint for World Domination, written on a hoary manuscript of old. And what did you say? That you don't want to be liberated and democratized? Then take this, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Hanoi, Berlin, Dresden, Baghdad, and Basra. Take that, Tokyo, Gaza, Lebanon, Kabul, Pakistan, Tripoli, Belgrade, Egypt, El Salvador, and Grenada. And take that, Panama, Argentina, Chile, Cuba, Dominican Republic, Somalia, and Africa. Always bombing people to smithereens. Always, of course, in the name of freedom, democracy, peace, and human rights.
Yeah.
Adrian Salbucci for Russian TV wrote this. Interesting, I thought so. Did you?
Yeah, very good. Go ahead.
Okay. And let's see. Anyway, those are the seven guidelines.
Let me just read that.
Turkey's ready to invade Egypt.
Syria.
Eurozone debt crisis worsens as financial world holds breath over impending financial apocalypse. Are we done?
Well, go to that first. And then,
see if we can get it.
Thanks a lot. Come on.
Good one. 10 minutes.
That's what
it took. Wow, really? You're operating with a... Looks like it might be coming faster. Some are faster than others.
This is natural news.
It's almost here, folks. You almost get it.
Allow me to begin this article with a single paragraph published yesterday on Yahoo Finance. Excuse me. The world is watching Europe while waiting upon a solution. It's not just the euro that's at stake. If the euro fails, so too does the 27-nation European Union. Bank lending would freeze, stock markets would crash, and Europe's economies would follow. Nations in the eurozone would see their economic output decline. Though temporarily, by as much as 50% according to the UBS forecast. That economic meltdown would then spread to the U.S. and Asia, and would find themselves caught up in the credit freeze while their exports to Europe would collapse. If you had read these words just 12 months ago, you would have thought it to be fear-mongering, conspiratorial nonsense, words like collapse and crash, and meltdown aren't normally tossed around the mainstream media, even when their use is justified. To actually see these words in print is strongly indicative of the severity of the global financial crisis our world now faces. A crisis, by the way, which is nothing less than a global economic coup that has seen entire nations virtually taken over by criminal gangsters. That's all. It's a new nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
It's truly a global phenomenon now. As the paragraph above explains, it's not merely that very existence of European Union is threatened by the crisis, but that the economic meltdown would spread to the U.S. and Asia, says the report. What Yahoo's finance article doesn't explain, however, is that this is technically not even a scene of financial fiscal policy. It's actually a global crime scene. Greg Palast, Max Kaiser, and others dare to report the truth. Right now, the number one network in the U.S. that's hitting this story head-on is none other than Infowars.com, led by Alex Jones. In a series of sizzling interviews with white-collar crime expert Greg Palast, Wall Street insider Max Kaiser, and trends researcher Gerald Celante, Jones has exposed the utter criminality of the global debt scam from top to bottom. Widely ridiculed by the New York Times, Bloomberg, and even Forbes magazine, Alex Jones is cursed with the ability to accurately see the patterns of history developing in real time. He has repeatedly shown the courage to warn others about what he sees and what he sees us all headed toward, even when being widely demonized by the ignorant mainstream media. Recently, Alex Jones interviewed Greg Palast, author of Vulture's Picnic, In Pursuit of Petroleum Pigs, Power Pirates, and High Finance Carnivores. We'll have to go to his website.
Yeah, we'll check that out.
That interview, which aired on November 22nd, offered stunning insights into the depths of criminality that have brought us to the brink of financial disaster. YouTube channel Astonisher One has been posting lots of Alex Jones's videos lately, under the banner of promoting peaceful and informed resistance against global criminality. Here's the 20... Oh, they have this new episode. We're not going to that right now.
Yeah.
If you listen to the recent interviews conducted by Alex Jones, you will hear his guests make the following points. J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, Citibank, and other banks are all insolvent. Their financial collapse is inevitable. Your monthly statements from these institutions are total frauds, as that money doesn't even exist in these banks. It's like Bernie Madoff, but several orders of magnitude worse. The Goldman Sachs criminal banksters are brazenly trying to economically conquer the world by destroying those national leaders who oppose their toxic debt schemes, while placing their loyalists, economic terrorists, in key positions of political power. Refer to Confessions of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins for more details on how this actually works. Now, we had him on.
Yeah.
He was excellent. The economic devastation now being experienced by countries like the USA is a deliberately planned scheme of economic destruction designed to allow the global banking elite to confiscate enormous resources from targeted nations. Some nations have been forced into giving up their oil fields, water supplies, and even their financial sovereignty to be used as collateral for global bankster bailouts. There are already increasing calls for bankers to be executed for engaging in these crimes that are effectively stealing billions of dollars or equivalent in local currencies from people of all the world. While calls for such drastic action may seem extreme at the moment, no doubt more people will join in such calls as they begin to lose their pensions and savings accounts when the financial collapse tidal wave reaches their personal bank accounts. S&P downgrades credit risk ratings at a dozen global banks.
Do you want me to read this?
And I keep losing our voices.
As yet more proof that the global financial house of cards is about to violently collapse, Standard & Poor's took action late yesterday to downgrade the rating of key globalist banks. Citigroup, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, Morgan Stanley, and Barclays, all of them have been downgraded. Man. And many others. These rating downgrades stemmed in part from the realization that failures of these banks may not be covered by governments which claim to insure their deposits. The FDIC, for example, can only cover a few $100 million in bank losses. Yet Bank of America recently engaged in some particularly wicked transactional voodoo that slopped a jaw-dropping $75 trillion, with a T, worth of derivative risk on the back of the FDIC. It doesn't take a mathematical genius to realize that if just a tiny percentage of this BOA derivative fall, the FDIC is instantly and irreparably bankrupt.
Who's insuring them?
We are. All right. So much for your bank account being FDIC. Who's insuring the FDIC?
The word's right out of my mouth, yeah.
In other words, if you have deposits with these large banks, there's a very real risk that those deposits may suddenly disappear in such the same way that customer accounts of MF Global recently vanished, never to be returned. It's clear from all this that the financial quickening is upon us. The inevitable financial corrections stemming from the global spread of toxic debt are now at our doorstep. And while it is possible that clever bureaucrats and finance fixers may be able to rig temporary solutions that delay their big correction a while longer, there is no questioning the fact that there is a correction and is inevitable, and the longer it's delayed, the worse it's going to get. By historical comparison, what our world is about to experience will make the economic misery of the Great Depression look like child's play. Think 50% unemployment, the collapse of a multiple global banking giants, police state martial law in every nation, and the eventual payout of perhaps 10 cents on the dollar for all the masses who once thought they had FDIC-insured savings accounts. But saying, stay informed, read Natural News for updates, learn to diversify your assets. And they're advising you to buy some farmland instead of sitting on cash. For example, because there will be a day when your dollar will be worth less than dirt anyway, and you might as well trade those dollars for dirt while you still can. That's an interesting one. We should be looking for farmland.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so much for
more violence in Kosovo.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to be able to play it though.
I just wasn't aware that was going on.
NATO tells troops to use light ammunition. I don't think we're going to. Yours doesn't play there.
No, don't bother with that.
Yours does not play.
It does, but it's not very loud.
Oh, here we go. Eco-Nazis.
In the coming global famine.
Yes. This is kind of scary, actually, what they're talking about here. And, of course, it's Save the Whales, Henry Mankow, but it definitely has a frightening tone to it that should be listened to. Heated.
Green Party pressure tried to force Congress to pass a law that would effectively destroy Brazilian agriculture.
Yeah.
In Paulo, Maria Silva is not a very known name, but you may think of her the next time you're at the supermarket checkout. This woman, a senator in Brazil, has started a war against agriculture with the help of international NGOs such as the Nazi VWWF, the WWF, and Greenpeace. I don't know what the WWF is. In the last decade,
Worldwide Federation, who knows?
In the last decade, Brazil has become the second largest producer of food in the
worldwide
world
fashion, so.
And exports 30% of its production. In a world where hunger is still a problem, with 13 million people at the risk of immediate starvation and 750 million of hunger, this is making a huge difference. However, feeding the hungry contradicts the New World Order plan, elucidated in the UN's Agenda 21 in the Club of Rome papers, to depopulate the earth and concentrate people in supercrowded and controlled cities while preserving vast amounts of land for the global elite to hunt and spend exotic vacations. The key agent in this strategy is the Green Party, an international socialist organization dedicated to spreading of the eco-Nazi ideology as a chic replacement of old-fashioned, blood-stained Marxism. In Brazil, many NGOs receive tons of money from the eco-Nazi global movement. As a member of this party, Marina was the Minister of Environment from 2003 to 2008 and made life a living hell for small farmers with draconian regulations similar to those applied in the U.S. by the EPA.
At the same time, the real criminals in the Amazon, foreign logging companies employing local Indians, are still untouched. People in Marina's most own state don't like her, and her popularity in the Amazon region is low because they know what kind of demagogue she is.
She is popular in the urban South and with Brazilian billionaires, actors, and singers. The Illuminati's puppet, James Cameron of Avatar fame, is a fan, helping to spread absurd lies in the globalist media. Green Party pressure tried to force Congress to pass a law that would effectively destroy Brazilian agriculture. After much backstabbing, slander, and lies from the Greens, challenged by grassroots reaction from the farmers, the Forest Code has been approved with modest change. It is the most restrictive environmental law on the planet by far. Today, 76% of the Amazon region is already protected and untouchable. In the 24% where some agriculture is permitted, the farmers will have to keep 80% of that forest.
Jeez.
That means that 95.2% of the forest will stay untouched. Brazil has 64% of native forests. The UK has 11%. The US has 24% and China has 17%. But Brazil is not only Amazon. Almost all agriculture is outside the forest. The Greens are not satisfied and still want to destroy the 5.1 million small farms in the remainder of the country by forcing them to stay away from rivers and hills. In Europe, most farmland is just by the rivers, and reforesting the land that has been cultivated for centuries.
They want President Dilma to vote the code, even after it has been approved by the Senate. These people are dangerous. They already gave away half of the state, the size of a country, to an Indian reservation for a few thousand Indians. In the process, they destroyed century-old rice farming, small villages, and sent dozens of thousands of people, including farmer Indians, to the slums of the capital cities. If they are successful with their Nazi tactics, they will expect to see skyrocketing prices for food and many more pictures of starving children in the news. Pakistan. U.S. attack on base lasted almost 2 hours as calls to stop were ignored. This is in Pakistan. Questions continue to grow over the Friday night U.S. attack on a Pakistani military base today, with news reports coming out of Pakistan saying that the air attack against the base lasted for almost 2 hours. The Army statement says that the base repeatedly broadcast calls for a ceasefire over the course of the 2 hours, and that those calls were repeatedly ignored, and the attack carried out by warplanes and helicopters, killing 24 soldiers. That would be really wonderful. Major General Arthur Abbas, the Pakistani Army Chief Spokesman, termed the attack a deliberate aggression by NATO and angrily rejected the new claims that the Pakistani Army had started it. There was no fire from this direction, Abbas insisted, challenging the claims that the basis that there were zero claims of any casualties on NATO's side, and no evidence that the people at the base, who were sleeping at the time, did anything to provoke the strikes.
Mm.
And this is freaking sick. I'm telling you, they're just getting away with
it. It's criminal.
They're bombing Pakistan. I mean, it's like, we're bombing Pakistan.
In our way.
Good God, I mean, a nation of 180 million people. Let's see. I would play that, but it doesn't play. U.S. used nuclear weapons in Afghanistan and Iraq. Maybe we can send this one here. It appears that the U.S. has been using nuclear weapons all along over there.
Yeah.
In Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan. It's kind of funny that that goes unreported, huh?
I think it's probably known.
Except
now.
In the Iranian news here. But I think it's interesting that we're already using. Oops. So let's just read this here. Sure.
As long as they don't start bombing us.
Yeah. The United States has used tactical nuclear weapons in its military campaign against Iraq and Afghanistan, a Middle East expert tells Press TV. Tactical nuclear weapons were used, at least one in Iraq, and several were used in Afghanistan and the Tora Bora Mountains. Peter Eyre, a Middle East consultant, said. Eyre pointed out that the atomic bomb dropped on Afghanistan's Tora Bora region was so powerful that it actually created an earthquake there. And the analyst went on to say that the use of such lethal weapons by U.S. military, which is a gross violation of the Geneva Convention, has been sanctioned by the U.S. presidents. Thus, they should be prosecuted for war crimes.
Yeah.
In America, the ultimate commander-in-chief is the president, Eyre said, adding that the president has the final say in using such weapons. The U.S. is in the first country in the world. The U.S. is the first country in the world to develop nuclear weapons and the only one to use them. Thousands of people were killed in August 4, 1945, when bombers dropped atomic bombs on Japan, Hiroshima, and Nagasaki. And the U.S. invaded Afghanistan in 2001 under the pretext of toppling the Taliban, claiming that the militants had refused to hand over Osama bin Laden. And the U.S. also invaded Iraq in 2003 under the excuse of destroying illegal weapons of mass destruction belonging to former dictator Saddam Hussein. And many civilians, including women and children, have been killed as a result of these wars, and U.S.-led war in Afghanistan with civilian and military casualties at record highs has become the longest war in U.S. history. Right. So that's basically that story.
But they're using them.
But they're using them.
Yep.
There you go, folks. They are using them. And we've got about a minute left. And I want to thank everybody who joined me tonight. And now let's see. I'm going to go back to this just to see if anybody is still waiting to call. Them. Nope. We're all set. So I want to thank everybody tonight. We've got 43 seconds left.
Thank you, folks, for putting up with our difficulties that we have. We finally were able to use our laptop to get a little something, but it's not always worked out either.
Because
it's an older one.
But we're very pleased that we were able to
do as much as we could.
And I want to thank everybody.
And keep on listening to news. Read for yourself.
Yeah.
And form your own decisions.
And join us tomorrow when we enter the fourth dimension. And good night.